Well, if you would open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Again, that's Revelation 2, verse 5. Revelation 2, verse 5 says, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word this evening. I pray your blessing on this time. Teach us what you want us to know this evening. May our hearts be focused on you and on your word this evening. And thank you again for being with us as we look into the scriptures tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the title tonight for my message is A Challenge from Ephesus. Actually, it's a challenge from Jesus, but we'll call it a challenge from Ephesus because it was the letter to the church at Ephesus, which Jesus dictated to the Apostle John. In Revelation chapter 1, John saw Jesus standing in the middle of seven candlesticks or lampstands. Each stand held a lit lamp, and these represented the seven churches in Asia Minor, or our modern-day Turkey. The seven churches featured in Revelation 2 and 3 were local, visible, independent, and self-governing congregations under Christ. And that's how the Lord addressed them. In each of the Lord's addresses to the church in Revelation 2 and 3, they followed a similar pattern. First, Jesus gave a greeting to the church that also included a descriptive statement about himself. Second, Jesus gave a description of the church according to how he viewed it. He either gave a commendation or a condemnation, depending on the spiritual condition of the church. And by the way, of those seven churches, he only commended two of them without any kind of condemnation. There's kind of a mixture of condemnation and commendations with the other ones. But it was only Smyrna and Philadelphia that he didn't have any negative thoughts about them. Jesus knew the works of each church. Third, Jesus gave words of encouragement and exhortation to each church. And fourth, he gave a promise to overcomers, and that is believers. And fifth, he concluded with an invitation to those with spiritual insight to hear what he said to that particular church. Now, each of these letters begins by saying that it was a message to the angel of that church. And the term used for angel is messenger or someone who makes an announcement. And the commonly held view is that angels here in Revelation 2 and 3 are the pastors of their respective churches. Now, a little bit more background information here. The church at Ephesus is what we're focusing on here. And Ephesus was about 50 miles from the island of Patmos, where John was at the time. And Ephesus was at the mouth of a river called the Caistor River. It was 3 miles inland from the Aegean Sea. Ephesus had one of the best harbors in that part of the world. Eventually, the harbor became fully silted in, and the ruins of the city are about 6 miles inland now. Ephesus was one of the top three commercial cities in the Middle East, and the population was around 300,000. It was a large city. Ephesus was a wealthy city, and this might sound strange, but one of its biggest banks was in the temple of the goddess Diana. And the temple of Diana was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Many of the priests of the temple of Diana were engaged in cult prostitution. So Ephesus was a prosperous city, but it was a center of immorality and paganism. Establishing a church there would have been quite a challenge. Now, you can read about the beginnings of the Ephesian church starting in the latter part of Acts chapter 18 and then all of chapter 19, and then quite a bit of Acts 20 features Paul's farewell message to the church elders from Ephesus. And if you were with us in Sunday school this morning, we went over that. The Ephesian church was likely started by the Apostle Paul along with Aquila and Priscilla. And Apollos served there for a while too. Paul was there for 2 or 3 years and had an effective ministry. You know, he spent 2 years teaching at the school of Tyrannus, which was a school where philosophy was discussed and debated. Luke said in Acts 19:10 that that all of Asia heard the gospel. You know, and that was because of Paul's ministry there in Ephesus. So many people would have come through Ephesus either for business or for pleasure. So the mission field essentially came to Paul. Later, Timothy would pastor the Ephesian church, and it's believed that the Apostle John also pastored there for a time. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians to this church while he was in Rome waiting for his first trial, and this was around 62 AD or thereabouts. And then some 35 years later, Jesus told John to write the Ephesian church here in Revelation 2. So we can say that the Ephesian church received two letters. Now, with that in mind, let's look at the first three verses of Revelation chapter 2.
Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted.
Well, this message is meant for the angel of the church at Ephesus, and the Lord describes himself as the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and that is how John saw Jesus in Revelation 1. This imagery of Jesus suggests that he cares for and he protects his churches as well as their pastors. He guides and directs his churches. He knows all about his churches. And, you know, we would do well to make sure that we keep the Lord in the middle of everything we do here at Northwood, since that's where he belongs. Jesus commended the church in Ephesus for several things. They were good workers. They labored for the Lord. And they were dedicated. They labored in the name of the Lord. They weren't pursuing any other cause. And furthermore, they didn't give up. They didn't faint. They didn't grow weary in well-doing. Serving the Lord isn't always easy. It can be physically and mentally and spiritually exhausting, but it can be satisfying and rewarding, especially when we let the Holy Spirit enable and empower us. So the Ephesian believers were patient. In other words, they knew how to keep going. They knew how to endure. And the idea here is that apparently the Ephesians endured great difficulties, including persecution. The Ephesian believers were also doctrinally correct, and they stuck to the true faith. They didn't tolerate evil. They didn't condone idolatry in spite of its prominence in the city. So the Ephesians also tested those who claimed to be apostles, and they wanted nothing to do with false teachers. They found out which ones were liars. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul had to defend himself against false apostles, and he had to do that in times when he wrote to other churches, such as when he wrote to the Corinthians. We see another commendation here for the Ephesians from Jesus, and that's in verse 6, and we'll look at that when we get to that verse here in a little bit, and we'll see there's probably a good reason why the Lord added it in later. So based on what we've seen in these first three verses, I think the Ephesian church sounds like one most of us would want to be part of, you know? Well, but everything is not sunshine and roses, as they say. So let's look at the rest of the passage here, verses 4 through 7.
Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
As great as this church was, Jesus said he had one thing against them. They had left their first love. Namely, they strayed away from loving him. You know, they had love for doctrine, they had love for the truth, but they strayed away from loving Jesus. So in Mark 12, 28 through 31, we see these words, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than this. So how can we tell when somebody has lost their love for the Lord? Or how can you tell when you're losing your love for the Lord? When we've lost our love for the Lord, we put ourselves first, whether we realize it or not. Our flesh rules us instead of the Holy Spirit and God's Word. In Matthew 24, 12, listen to what Jesus said would be one of the characteristics of the last days. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We need to remember that we love God because He first loved us, like John tells us in 1 John chapter 4. Our love for the Lord doesn't come automatically, even though we as believers have the Holy Spirit within us. We have to cultivate our love for the Lord. We must ask Him to help us do that. So looking at the bigger picture, if the church is to love the Lord, its members must love the Lord. We must love one another. Now, I believe our church does a really good job of that. I really do. So in Revelation 2:5, Jesus told the Ephesians the first thing they needed to do was to remember where they'd fallen from. They needed to look back and remember when they first received Christ. And of course, we need to do the same thing. And that's a key component of revival. You and I should be able to recall how things were before and after we were saved. Now, if you're somebody who was saved at an early age, just think back on key growth points that you've experienced along the way. And then, of course, do like David. Ask the Lord to restore the joy of salvation. So here are some questions to ponder whenever doing a spiritual checkup. Have you ever felt closer to the Lord than you do now? Has your attitude towards sin changed? Do you have a critical spirit? Has your zeal for personal holiness increased or decreased? What are your devotional and prayer life like? How do you feel about church attendance? How has your attitude changed toward heaven? How do you feel toward God's people? So Jesus gave three clear and specific steps to follow whenever we've lost our first love. We're to do like what he said to the Ephesians. We're to remember, repent, and return. The Ephesian church needed to repent. In fact, the word repent appears twice here in verse 5. Obviously, the Lord was emphasizing how important this was. For you and me, repentance isn't just a one-time event at salvation. As we grow in the Lord, our thinking and our actions are going to change about a number of things. And if that's not happening, ask yourself, why not? And then ask the Lord to help you repent of those things that don't glorify Him. By the way, whatever glorifies Him in your life will also make you a better person. You know, forget about the self-help books, right? Find out what glorifies the Lord. Jesus also told the Ephesians to do their first works. Well, what were the first works of the Ephesian church? Well, I'm glad you asked. Consider Paul's words in Ephesians 1, 15 and 16. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So the Ephesian believers were known for their faith as well as their love for all the saints. You'll remember that John 13, 34 and 35 says that love for one another is the key characteristic that proves to the world that believers are Christ's disciples. When it comes to our first works as individuals, you and I need to think back to when we were saved, like I mentioned a while ago. Go back to having that hunger that you initially had for God's word. Go back to fervently praying and communing with God. Go back to being excited to be around God's people. You know, in the last few years, God has given me a hunger for His Word in a way that I haven't had since I was a baby Christian. You know, there are times when I just want to know everything about the Bible all at once 10 minutes ago, right? You know, well, of course, obviously that's not possible. It's not going to happen. And there are times, you know, after studying God's Word for a while, I get to a saturation point. You know, I just can't absorb anymore. But getting into God's Word regularly a number of years ago just revolutionized so many things as far as my walk with the Lord is concerned. As the old commercial used to say, try it, you'll like it. Jesus told the Ephesian church that if they didn't repent, He would come quickly and remove their candlestick out of its place. Well, this was no idle threat. The removal of the candlestick is a metaphor or an illustration that the Lord was going to judge that church. Where's the Ephesian church today? Well, sadly, it doesn't exist anymore. As history has progressed, many locations and institutions have changed or they've disappeared altogether. Churches who were once on fire for the Lord have fallen from the faith, and the Lord would no longer recognize them as His New Testament churches. So in verse 6 here in Revelation 2, Jesus had one more commendation, a good thing to say about the Ephesian church. They hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And the Lord may have given out this commendation at this point rather than earlier because perhaps the Ephesians would have done well to use their passion against the Nicolaitans as a starting point for moving back toward a repentant love for the Lord. Jesus said that He hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Now, the example for us is that we should hate the things that the Lord hates, and we should love the things that the Lord loves. And we only know what we should love and not love by getting into God's Word. The Nicolaitans are also mentioned in the letter to Pergamos in Revelation 2, verse 15. And so maybe we should know a little bit about who they were. However, the truth is we know very little about them. There are several theories about who the Nicolaitans were. One view says that they were followers of a man named Nicholas. Now, this may have been the same Nicholas mentioned in Acts 6, verse 5. And if so, he was one of the seven men chosen to be deacons. He was chosen to assist with the ministry of the church in Jerusalem. Perhaps he departed from the faith and became the leader of a cult or of a false religion. Now, again, we just don't know for sure, but it's believed that the Nicolaitans claimed to have spiritual power and position, but they loved evil. They lived immoral lives. And this was similar to the attitudes and the actions of the early Gnostics. They were people who valued the spiritual over the physical. Anyway, that sort of thing has no place in the Lord's churches. So there's another view about the Nicolaitans. It draws conclusions from their name. Nico can mean victor or conqueror, and the rest of the name has to do with people. And the idea is that the Nicolaitans believed in lording it over people. In local churches, they might have tried to create a division between clergy and members of the congregation. They might have tried to establish an unbiblical religious hierarchy inside churches or maybe between various churches. And with that said, you know, we can see why the Lord would have hated their deeds and would have commended the Ephesians for that as well. Then as we get into verse 7, it gives an invitation and a promise. Jesus invited anyone with an ear to hear or to listen to what the Spirit said to the churches. During his earthly ministry, Jesus often said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Hearing is one thing, but really listening and letting the message sink in is another thing. Wouldn't we all do well to seek out and hear what the Holy Spirit has for us? Now, you know, we don't want to be dull of hearing, right? So the promise Jesus made was to the overcomer, and an overcomer is anybody who has put their trust in Christ for salvation. Consider 1 John 5, 4 and 5. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Well, here in Revelation 2, verse 7, Jesus said overcomers will be allowed to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The first reference to the tree of life is way back in Genesis 2, verse 9, and it talks about the Garden of Eden there. Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and as a result of their disobedience, they forfeited the right to eat of the tree of life. So God saw to it that the tree of life was then guarded by cherubims with a flaming sword. And at some point, there was no more tree of life. And the next time anyone will encounter the tree of life is in the new heaven and the new earth. And that's when believers will have eternal life. Consider Revelation 22, verses 1 through 3. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Now, I'm not going to try to unpack all that, but it's wonderful that verse 3 says, "There shall be no more curse." We'll have eternal life like God means for us to have. In conclusion, the church at Ephesus is no more. And we can only hope that some of her members did indeed return to Christ, their first love. May we take this as a challenge to stay on guard and not lose our first love. These words in Revelation 2 were written some 30 plus years after the church in Ephesus was founded. Eventually, the Ephesian church went away and it doesn't exist anymore. Well, you know, our church is like many churches today. We face challenges as we go forward from here tonight. What will become of our church in 30 some years? Now, a number of us aren't going to be around to find out because we have more of our lives behind us than that which is left in front of us. So what will happen to Northwood Baptist Church? Only God knows, but, you know, will we be caught up in the rapture by then? Will a new pastor come along after Brother George's tenure here and take the church in a contemporary or a modern direction? Can this church hold on to sound doctrine? Will we forsake our first love? Pray that we each cultivate our love for the Lord. Because if we can maintain our first love as individuals, then our church will maintain its first love regardless of what the future holds. Now, if you would stand for our closing prayer, our prayer of invitation this evening. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this word. Thank you for this challenge that we see. May we not lose our first love. May we continue to love you. Teach us to love you more. Show us what it means to have a hunger and a thirst after you and to put you above all things in our lives. We need you, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit. We need your guidance. We need your direction. We need to be in your word. Fill us with your word. Fill us with your spirit. I ask your blessing now as we think on these things. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.